So, I apologize that everyone listening online couldn't hear the shiur last week, simply because the recorder went on the fritz. I came to try to upload it, and guess what? It wasn't there. So are you having a backup this week? Put on the backup this week. I got complaints. I don't want more complaints.
Rabbi Shua Grunstein,
I'm just calling.
Backup tape, 9:36, Wednesday morning.
Okay.
How does it work? We'll find out.
How does it work? Take two. Did you ever have a situation in which you have the same pasuk, the same tefillah, that can double for two things? So last week we spoke about that you can do a mitzvah which basically has two results at the same time. We spoke about tefillin, bris, Chanukah candles, and Megillah. And we spoke about the fact that you can kill two birds with one stone. Now let's take that same idea and think about situations in halacha in which you can have a bunch of tefillot, let's say, a bunch of davenings of sorts, shapes, and sizes, and they can double over for two different things, even though it's the same text. So, dead giveaway, if you make a bracha on a lulav, it can't double over for a bracha on an apple. And if you make a bracha borei pri ha'etz on an apple, it can't double over for the bracha on tefillin. Right? However, we're going into the period of time where there is a certain text that could be said in two ways. If you say it in one way, there's rules and regulations. And if you say it another way, you can do what you want. What am I speaking about? So this is coming Motzei Shabbos, we start what? Slichos. And during Slichos, the most important part of Slichos is, of course, and don't say the end.
The attributes of Hashem,
known as the Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 attributes of mercy. Can you say them without a minion? No?
I'm not sure why not.
We're not sure why not. But suffice it to say, you can't say them without a minion. There's various things in halacha you can't say without a minion. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Kriyat HaTorah. If you want to look it up, you can look in the Gemara and Megillah. Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Bet brings all the things you need to say with a minion. It's a Mishnah and a Gemara. It speaks about all the things that require a minion. Amongst the many, Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 attributes of mercy, you need to have a minion for.
No, this is a pasuk in the Torah.
Oh, so Bruce says, wait a minute. Due respect. This is a pasuk in the Torah. So can I take a chumash and just read the psukim? Answer.
Yes.
You can. If it's during Slichos, you need a minion. But if you're using it to learn Torah, you want to learn Parsha Ki Tisa, where the Yud Gimel Midot are in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf, you can say it. And indeed, the poskim say that if you're saying slichot and you're dying to say the yud gimel midot, then you could say it with one condition. What's the condition if you don't have a minyan? You say it as psukim. So same text, if you're saying it with a minyan, just say it. If you're saying it without a minyan, say the poskim on the Shulchan Aruch, you need to say it with the trop that you're laying with. And make sure, following, that you finish the pasuk. Because what do we do in Yud Gimel Midot? We do something very strange, and this is not the time to explain it. We basically cut the pasuk in half, right? We actually change the whole significance of the pasuk. Hashem, Hashem, kerachom v'chanu erech apayim rav chesed b'emet. That's a full pasuk. Nose chesed la'alafim, nose avon v'fesha v'chata'a v'nakeh. Finished. You know what the real pasuk really says? V'chata'a v'nakeh lo yinakeh. And you know there's a big difference. And then it goes on. Poked avon avot al banim val bnei banim al shelishim val rebeim. So therefore, if you want to say the Yud Gimel Midot, and you're not in a minyan, you could if you use the trop, and you finish the pasuk, even though it's the same text. So we see a situation in halacha where the same text, if being said in a minyan, is being said in slichos, has to be said with a minyan. But the very same text, no minyan, you could say it as a fulfillment of learning Torah. Do we have another example of that in halacha? Same text can be used for two different things?
Maybe the Shema?
Shema! When are you supposed to say Shema every day?
Morning, night.
Morning and night. Let's talk about the morning for a moment. Till when do you say Shema? When can you begin? Begin. Mishayakir ben Chelet leLavan, when you can show the difference between your blue strings of your tzitzis and your white strings of your tzitzis. That's how much light there is outside. Partially light. And when do you end? When's the last time to say Shema? 3 hours after whenever the day begins. We won't go into the machloket when the day begins, but 3 hours later. What happens if you wake up late? Can you say Shema? So the poskim once again say yes. But it is not 9:25 today. Good. We have a lot of time. We just missed it a few moments ago. Gentlemen, can you say Shema at 10 o'clock this morning? Yeah. If you read it. You can read it. And the poskim say, when you say Shema, you are not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. That time has gone by. You're filling the mitzvah of learning Torah. So, Lo garua mikore b'Torah, say the psukim, say the poskim. So therefore, once again, you have the same text. If said within the first 3 hours of the morning, it's Kriyat Shema. If it's said 4 hours and on, it's learning Torah. Now, let's talk about the opposite. If you're learning Parshat Ve'etchanan, which has the first paragraph of Shema, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, and you're learning it as a Jew should, Shtayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum, you should go over the Parsha every week, twice the Pasuk, once with an interpretation. I know that's a big secret. We don't want to talk about all the people that don't even think of doing it, but that is Paskind in Shulchan Aruch. So excuse me for bringing up secrets here. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it. You know, people slander, so the rabbis don't want to talk about Lashon Hara, because God forbid, they'll find out it's usher. So they don't want to, God forbid, put a stumbling block in front of them. Better not to talk about it. So it is a halacha. So a person's learning Ve'etchanan, and it happens to be nightfall arrives. He didn't daven ma'ariv yet, and he gets to Shema. He's reading the psukim Shtayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. Is he saying Shema or not? So here the intention maybe does matter, because you do need attention for the first verse. So as you can see, you can be reading the Shema at the right time, but it's not Shema. It's reading the Torah. Same text, but doubling over for two different things. One is learning Torah, and one is Shema. So we have Yud Gimel Midot, which can double over either as learning Torah or part of Slichos. And the Nafkamina is, do you need a minyan? And you have Shema, which you could say all day. I could say Shema now. Just if I say Shema now, it's not Kriyat Shema. It's not the mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema twice a day. What is it? Learning Torah. Any other examples you can think of? Same text, doubles over for two different things.
About the feelings practice that he's done. That is essential. So he actually sings it to practice it.
So?
At the wrong, it's not... He's not doing it.
Okay.
To daven.
Okay.
So practice the tune and see.
Yeah, but there he's not doing any. It's no fulfillment of anything. It's just.
Well, if he did it in the morning, and he said to himself, I guess I davened.
Yeah, but then he's davening.
But that wasn't his intention.
You're saying he's singing the nigunim of the Yomim Noraim into the words of the Amida.
Yes.
That's fine. You can do that every day of the year. What's the big deal? That doesn't have two double fulfillments. Anyone else can think of something else that has double fulfillment? If you do it at this time, it's this. If you do it at a different time, it's fine. It's just not that.
Hallel.
Explain.
It's Tehillim. So you say them.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the context of when we say Hallel and Shul.
So, Hallel is a very good example. Psukim and Tehillim. So if you want to say Psukim and Tehillim, go right ahead. Take up Tehillim book out. After davening any time of the day at night, and say to him. But if you say a bracha before, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvot Avetzivanu Likro Et HaHalel, or as Sfardim said, Ligmor Et HaHalel, and they say a full Hallel, that's already a Hallel. That's already saying Hallel. So if you say it without a bracha, I'm not so sure it's Hallel. However, with Hallel, we get a little bit complicated. Because, do you really need a bracha to turn it into Hallel? Now let me put it another way. Do you need a bracha before a mitzvah? Let's say you forgot to make the bracha. You blew the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, and you forgot to say the bracha, Lishmoa kol shofar. You're yotze.
That's why they have the hareni.
Hareni?
The hareni, mukhanu
mizuman. Oh, hinini, mukhanu mizuman. Yeah.
So that to prepare yourself to make sure the bracha is...
Remind me, I forgot your name. Yehuda says correctly that one of the reasons for hinini, or Mukhanu Mezuman, that some Hasidim say, some Svardim say, is indeed because of the... it's indeed because they want to get their mindset that they're doing a mitzvah, they're not just doing blowing a trumpet or other things in halacha. So if you blow the shofar now, this morning, You did it after davening. That's the minhag of elul. Very nice. If you do blowing the shofar, let's say at night, you're practicing shofar. There's no fulfillment there. You're blowing a trumpet. But halal is a good example where perhaps even without the bracha, you're saying halal on one condition. You're saying it on the day that requires halal. In other words, if you're saying it on a day that requires halal, then it would be beautiful to say, and if you didn't say a bracha, you didn't.
It's like Yom HaTzmaut.
So the whole thing, Yom HaTzmaut, that's exactly an example where people say, okay, we're a little wary if we need to say halal or not, so do it without a bracha, which is a nice way in halacha that we solve many things. Anytime there's a suffix, we say do it without a bracha. So from this perspective, I definitely believe that halal is a good example. Now let's come to Rosh Hashanah, which is upcoming. Rosh Hashanah has a law that's very interesting. You have to hear shofar. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. I hope that's not a secret for anyone here. You have to hear a minimum of 30 different blasts. We won't go into how we divide them up. That's the minimum. What do you happens when you come to shul? If you're in shul with a minyan, it's not. What do? We don't just blow shofar and finish. We blow shofar in the middle of the Amida. Now, in parentheses, I'll tell you that we once gave a shiur around this table in which we said that shofar blowing cannot be trumpet blowing. It actually is not music, but rather it's a form of tefillah. If not, it would have a problem of hefsek. You'd be interrupting your davening with something that's totally inappropriate. No one around this table in their right mind would think that on Sukkot, you'd say, Vatitan lanu Hashem Elokeinu, etc., Yom Chag HaSukkot Hazeh, stop, go home, make a leisha basuka, drink a l'chaim, come back to shul and say Mikra Kodesh Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. No one in the right mind would tell, that's okay. But all of a sudden on Rosh Hashanah, it's okay because it blends into tefillah. That's a Dvar Torah in and of itself and a Shir in and of itself. I think it's on YU Torah, so you can look it up. Now let's close the parentheses. Here we are in Rosh Hashanah. We come to davening and we have a minyan. If you're davening at home, how do you daven the Amida? You say the Amida of Musaf, Ma'achiyot, Zichronot, Shofarot. Do you blow shofar? No. If you're in shul with a minyan, what happens? You say, Malchiyot, Zichronot, at least in Chazarat Hashatz. What do you do? After Malchiyot, you blow shofar, and after Zichronot, and after Shofarot. All of a sudden, the same shofar, the same davening, it's changed. If you're davening at home, you daven no Chazarat Hashatz, and you definitely don't blow in your private Amida. If you're davening in a shul, the same davening changes. Yeah, they blow in the Amida, but again, there has to be a minyan in the room. Without a minyan, you don't blow in the Amida. So during Rosh Hashanah, you see that you transform a davening into a davening plus shofar blowing. A totally different davening than if you're not davening in a minyan. If you're davening not with a minyan, it's davening. Shofar blowing over here, davening over there. Not connected. If you're davening in a minyan, we blend them together. If we blend them together, the whole davening changes. It's a davening of both words and shofar blasts. And indeed, I once suggested that perhaps shofar is an example of davening in which you don't say, God, I need this, God, I need that, God, you're great, God, you're wonderful, God, I'm upset at you. But shofar is all the things that you say, basically one that you can't say in words. God, I don't know what's right for the Jewish people or wrong. Should Bibi be the prime minister or shouldn't he be the prime minister? Should there be a law for the Kotel or shouldn't there be a law for the Kotel? God, do what's right for the Jewish people. That's the tefillah of shofar. So we say words, we absolutely ask God to do A, B, and C, and then we blow the shofar, which is a way of saying, God, we don't know if we're asking for the right things, do what's right for the Jewish people. That's a whole different davening than when you daven at home. When you daven at home, what do? You ask God for this, that, the other thing. You start with praise, in the middle there's request, at the end there's thanksgiving, and then you have to blow shofar separate. All of a sudden, you come to shul, we double it over. And that can only be done with a minyan. And not only can it only be done with a minyan, but the Gemara paskins, that the brachot and the kolot makvot. In other words, if you are in shul with a minyan and you don't blow shofar, you don't have a proper davening. It's like not saying Yalla v'yavol on Rosh Chodesh. It's not separate, it's blended in. So we have a chazarat hashat, which is a blend of both shofar blowing and davening, versus at home, where that's not the case. So, we gave three examples here, four examples to be precise. The first one was Shema, after its time. The second one was Hallel, without a bracha or with a bracha. Is it Tehillim or is it Hallel? And what was the example we started with? The 13 attributes of mercy, where once again, it depends when you do it and who's in the room with you. So as you could see, throughout halacha, we can have situations where one thing could be, it could be one way when you ultimately have a minyan. It could be a totally different way when you don't have a minyan. Can you take out a Sefer Torah right now and read from it?
Sure.
Can you make a bracha? No. You need a minyan to make a bracha on the Sefer Torah. It also needs to be a Thursday, or a Monday, or a Shabbos Mincha, or a Yontif. You can't just take it out and read it. So that's one of the examples again, where, hey, no problem, take out the Torah, but it's not a fulfillment of Kriyat HaTorah, it's a fulfillment of learning Torah, which is fine. You can practice for your bar mitzvah, that's fine. But it's not Kriyat HaTorah.
If they read the Torah on Monday, and then they discover the Torah is a puzzle, and they come out on Tuesday, can they reread it with a bracha? Because they missed it Monday, and like, what's the problem with the bracha?
No.
It's the same meaning.
No, you can't. There's no fulfillment of reading Torah on a regular Tuesday. Kriyat HaTorah is Monday. You can make it up at Mincha, in my opinion, but not once past Shkia.
What's the basis of that?
The Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Pei Bet, says that the Jewish people went after the Kriyat Yamsa for 3 days and they didn't find water. And they came to a place called Marah, which was bitter. That's why it was called Marah. And they did what Jews do best. They kvetched to God. And God actually listened to their kvetch and put the log in the water, gave Moshe the instruction, and the water became sweet. That's the regular story. Chazal added an additional level of interpretation and said they weren't just thirsty for water. They were thirsty for Torah, because en mayim ela Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, being a rabbi, as we always say, the rabbis enacted. He was one of those, you know, rabbis. He had a ordination. So he said, I'm making an enactment. You can't go more than 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah, because look what happened to the Jewish people. They went 3 days, and they became totally famished, tzimished. They were totally out of it. We need to have every 3 days Torah. So that's what we do. We don't go by 3 days without learning Torah by virtue of Kriyas HaTorah.
So
that's Moshe Rabbeinu's enactment.
They missed it, and they're making it up on the next day. So
you need to treat it as far as you need to Torah also.
However, once the enactment was made, you can't start playing around with it and say, oh, the reason is not to go for 3 days. So now we already went for 3 days. No good. So at least on the fourth day, we should make it up. No, it doesn't work that way. Once the enactment was made for Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, you can't make it Tuesday and Wednesday. Just like Shabbos is on Shabbos and not on Sunday, even though there were movements in Judaism, not Orthodox movements, that said, oh, let's move it to Sunday. Quite frankly, you can't do that. So therefore, that was the reason for that enactment, to read the Torah on those specific days. So, we saw various examples today of looking at halacha and seeing how does it work. And we saw that in certain situations, you need certain things in the room. You need a minyan in order to do X. But if you want to do the same X without a minyan, you could. Just don't think the result is the same. If you say the Yud Gimel Midot without a minyan, I'm not sure it's Yud Gimel Midot, it's Korah Batorah. But if you say the Yud Gimel Midot as part of Slichos, as part of your Slichos prayers, then it's part of Slichot. So as you could see, we have these examples throughout Halacha, where with a minyan versus without a minyan can make a difference as to what you're doing. Are you davening or aren't you? So shofar blowing at home without a minyan is very much like music. God said to blow, you blow, and then you daven. Shofar blowing in shul is a blend in which the shofar blowing becomes part of davening. It's blown right in the middle of the Amida, of the Chazan at least, the Chazarat HaShatz. And as pointed out, if you daven Nusach Sfard, or if you daven like the Hasidim, or like the Sfardim, even in Tefillah Balachash, even in the silent Shmoneh Esrei. So we double over things in Halacha, and we see that the same thing can mean two different things. It depends how you do it. If you read Parshat Ekev, and you're reading Vayayim Shamoa, you're learning Torah. If you say Vayayim Shamoa in the morning with your tefillin on and whatnot, then
davening.
Absolutely, he's davening. And the same thing is true in other areas in Halacha. Where else do we find such a phenomenon?
You're saying Kaddish. Saying Kaddish.
What about it?
You say it in a minyan. It does whatever.
Kaddish needs a minyan. There's no other way to say Kaddish. You can't just mumble off Kaddish.
No, if the person says Kaddish, has he done something? What has he done? Is there a problem with that?
He has to say Kaddish in a minyan.
Yeah.
If not, you can't say Kaddish.
Yeah.
That's the way the rules and regulations of halacha work. Any other examples, gentlemen? So we spoke about Tkiot on Rosh Hashanah, and we spoke about the Yud Gimel Middos, we spoke about taking out a Sefer Torah and just reading from it, Kriyat Shema after its time, Hallel. Any other examples you can think of before we conclude?
Saying Megillat Esther. I mean, you do it at the night of Purim before the mitzvah of Megillat Esther.
So Megillat Esther is fine. Do it at the night of Purim.
Before,
you can practice it. It's reading Tanakh. Right? Reading Tanakh.
But
Kiddush Levana, what about that? Would be a brochen.
No,
you don't need a minyan for Kiddush Levana. You need another person for it. It's an interesting halacha. One more person with you. Yeah. The Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom could be said to one person. That's what the Ramah says. Gentlemen, one more example. We're getting close to Rosh Hashanah. Think, what am I talking about?
Canceling vows.
Yeah? Canceling vows needs three people, but okay, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Nope. Gentlemen, think. Tashlik doesn't need a minion of Tashlik. You can do whatever you want. It's fine. Tashlik, it's okay. Gentlemen, there's a mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? So we blow shofar. We did our 100 kolot, let's say, in shul. What happens if after we did 100 kolot, we took the same shofar that we just blew, shul is over, and just to make people feel good, a guy starts blowing Yankee Doodle, went to town, riding on a pony with his shofar. Is that okay?
No.
No. Can you tell me why?
The mitzvah is to listen to the Torah. To listen to the shofar.
Okay, right? You listened. So now he's doing Yankee Doodle. Did he do any iser? Did he do a prohibition?
He's playing music.
Absolutely. There's a Takana de Rabbanan, not to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yantiv, because they were worried you're going to fix it. Like a guitar, they're going to be worried that if it doesn't play right, you're going to tighten the string, and then it's a Isser of Make Bepatish, finishing a vessel. So the Chachamim made a Takana, you're not allowed to go ahead and play musical instruments on Yantiv. So how do we play a musical instrument on Rosh Hashanah? Excuse me for the political term, but God trumps the de Rabbanan. Right? God's laws are more important than a derabbanan. So even if the rabbi said there's a mitzvah of onik Shabbos, you have to eat three meals. If Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, we fast, because God overrides the rabbis. Now, in this particular case, in which we blow shofar, God said to blow, we blow. Once you blew shofar, and it's not for the sake of the mitzvah, it's an issur to blow. Why? You're not allowed to play musical instruments on Rosh Hashanah. So from this perspective, it's interesting. A second ago, it was a kiyum of mitzvah shofar. Once you finish the kiyum of mitzvah shofar, you're done. And everyone heard. There's no second blowing for those that didn't hear and all that. If you blow the shofar, the same vessel, the same shofar, it's an iser. Interesting.
So when you hear kids
on the same day.
Yeah, you hear kids practicing at home.
You blow shofar, that's fine. You're allowed to blow shofar for people that did not hear yet. But once you did your obligation, and they did their obligation, again, everyone's taken care of, squared away, if you blow that same shofar, it's an iser on yontiv of blowing musical instruments.
So kids that blow for fun, like you're eating lunch and you hear upstairs.
Okay, I won't go into the whole question of how to, do you have to stop kids doing isurim?
No, on Rosh Hashanah, sometimes like...
I won't get that. Tokei li'it lamed is probably okay, but that's in order to... Mechanichim to do it for the right reasons. I won't go into that now, but the bottom line is the same shofar can be a mitzvah if done at the right time for someone obligated. So I want to make this very crystal clear. If you get up Rosh Hashanah morning, you're obligated to hear shofar. You can take that shofar, blow the 30 kolot properly. You did an absolute mitzvah, you should get a star. I blew shofar today, you're a good man. If you finish the 30 kolos, done, and now you just want to blow for the Yankee Doodle or whatever, you're doing an iser. Same day, same shofar, same person. What's the only difference? Is he obligated or not obligated? The minute he finishes obligation, shofar down. Until the obligation's not finished, shofar's not up.
What about on Shabbat? God said blow shofar, and the rabbis later decided...
Okay, we won't get into that today, about can the rabbis have power to tell you not to violate an iser, but rather just don't do a mitzvah. The Gemara comes to the conclusion in Masechet Yevamot that they do and can and have a license to do that. when they have a valid reason. However, they cannot tell you to do an iser. So the rabbis come out and say, everyone eat pig. The rabbis don't have an iser, don't have a right to do that. The rabbis do have a right to tell you, hey, just don't blow shofar today. So gentlemen, as you can see in halacha, we have various examples of things where it really depends on the circumstance. When the circumstance is X, you're doing one thing. When the circumstance is Y, you're doing another thing. It could be the same text. It could be the same thing used for different things. If you on Shabbos morning, and we'll conclude with this, say, borei pri hagifin, and you drink wine, what mitzvah are you fulfilling? Kiddush. Kiddush Shabbos morning is borei pri hagifin. All the psukim before are very nice and beautiful, and many, many people say them, but the actual mitzvah is to say a birkat anehenin on wine. Start the meal with wine. If you got up this morning and said, on the same wine, borei pri hagifin, what did you do? You made a bracha properly, and you drank wine. That's what you did. That's all you did, as a matter of fact. But if you do it on Shabbos morning, not only are you drinking wine, and not only are you saying a bracha before, you are also fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush. Motzei Shabbos, if you eat a meal, like you eat dinner every night, so it's dinner plus Melav Malka. By the way, also Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, also a good secret that we shouldn't tell too many people. But if you eat a meal tonight, Wednesday, at about 9 o'clock, when you usually eat your Malav Malka on Motzei Shabbos, what is it? It's dinner.
Company meeting.
It's dinner. Quite frankly, it's a company meeting, same menu, same dining room table. You could put the candles there. You could put the white tablecloth on. It is a Wednesday night dinner, any way you slice it. But if you do it at the proper time, it's Malav Malka. So the same thing can double over as dinner plus Malava Malka if you do it at that time. If you don't, then it doesn't double. Then it's just dinner. So anytime we look at one of these laws and rules and regulations, such as you need a minyan or not, and then they say, if you don't have a minyan, do this. We have to be very clear. When you don't have a minyan, for Yud Gimel Midot, you're just learning Torah. Oh, I said the Yud Gimel Midot. Yeah, of course you said it. But if you say it with a minyan, it's one thing. And if you say it without a minyan, it's a totally different thing. Everyone should have a Shana Tova, Ketiva B'Chatima Tova. We should fulfill all the mitzvot that are about to come upon us, and we should all do it with the proper mindset, and of course with the proper rules and regulations being followed. And most importantly, we should do it and have it, let them have a lasting impact on us far and beyond these actual high holidays and this holiday period. Baruch Hashem, we're going into a very heavily saturated period of mitzvot. Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, fasting on Yom Kippur, together with the Inuyim, Sukkah, which has many rules as to how to build a kosher sukkah and be careful with it because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, lulav and esrog, adasim and aravos, so a lot of mitzvot about to come upon us, together with the regular mitzvot of Yontif and Shabbos. We should be careful to fulfill them all well, and most importantly, I'm hoping that they'll have a very important and lasting impact on us for the entire year.